You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
Yes, indeed. A very good morning, boys and girls. How are we this morning? It is just coming to 1 minute after the hour of 7 o'clock. I'm going to be sitting here keeping you entertained, hopefully, until 10 o'clock this morning. Great to be with you. It is The Breakfast Show. I'm Jerry D. We're on 89.3 Cool FM. And date-wise, it is the 16th of March, and it is Thursday. Right, we do have a birthday today. This guy was probably one of the most successful navigators and cartographers. What it says here, at any rate, Captain Matthew Flinders was born on this day. The year was 1774. As I mentioned, he was one of the most successful navigators and cartographers of his age. In a career that spanned just over 20 years, he sailed with Captain William Bligh, circumnavigated Australia, and encouraged the use of that name, by the way, for the continent which had previously been known as New Holland, which really doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
That when it snows, my eyes become alive, and the light that you shine can't be seen. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain, baby. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a light, and the light that you shine can't be seen.
so much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen?
There we go. Bring us in this morning.
A light hits the gloom on the rain.
Seal, of course, and a kiss from a rose. And that was on his Seal's second eponymous album, which was released in 1994. The song was first released as a single in July of that year and was included, remember, it's included in the film, The Neverending Story 3. That year. It was re-released a year later in 1995 as part of the Batman Forever film soundtrack as well, helping it top the charts in the United States and Australia. And it also reached the top 10 in several other countries, including Canada, France, Iceland and Norway. Right, time on The Breakfast Show. Keep your eye on the time, coming up for 8 minutes after 7 o'clock. And a busy morning this morning. Dr. Computer's able to join us, which is all rather nice. That's in the 8 o'clock hour. And in the last hour today, we're going to be talking about an upcoming auto show, which is going to be over there at the City of Knowledge. It's all happening, isn't it, really? Manic Street Preachers in The Breakfast Show.
It's a favorite day. I'm staying. Of crying so just lately, when I catch myself I do a 180. I stay up in the house, at least I'm not drinking. Run around so I just don't have to think about that hand. That silence stands up content that everyone gets just disappears soon as the sun sets. This face in my dreams, see it my guts, he floods me with prayer. Running cold, I stand before him.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
There we go. Say that the first one was Manic Street Preachers and Wake Up Alone. Good cover. Followed on the M People and Don't Look Any Further. Time on the Breakfast Show. Just looking, I tell you what, we're exactly, let's make the most of it, shall we? We're exactly 15 minutes. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock, which means, yep, it's cleaning time. Yes, time to get you spruced up, smelling nice. And on the way to wherever you go. Tell you what, metro-wise, they've opened up the link to Tokumen Airport, which is great, isn't it? Of course it is. In the shower this morning, it's Candy Satin. Young Hearts, Run Free.
What's the sense in sharing this one and only life? Ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years, and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the baby, but you won't have your man.
you go, yes, Candy Staten. And that's it, out of the shower, dry yourself off and get you off to wherever it is you're going to go right now. And have a great Thursday. Yes, it is Thursday. We're whipping through March, over halfway. It is the 16th of March today. 20 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. By the way, we know how to make them in those days. Yeah, run Young Hearts Run Free, Candy Staten. That was voted the number 150. This is in the Rolling Stones list of 200 greatest dance songs of all time. Yeah, oh, that was in 2022. The single was released in 1976. It was written by a guy's name was David Crawford, an American R&B musician. He was a songwriter, obviously, radio personality, and a record producer. He wrote What a Man, that was originally recorded by Linda Lindell, and later reinterpreted by Salt and Pepper, Precious Precious, a hit for Jackie Moore, and Young Hearts Run Free, international hit in 1976 for Candy Staten. Right, let me see, what have I got for you now? I think we're going to take a little rummage around the internet, see if we can find any nice stories. Bottom of the hour, certainly not nice stories. We'll take a look at some of the international news, some of the international business news as well for this morning. dancing with tears there from Ultravox. 26 minutes, keeping an eye on the time after the hour of 7 o'clock. No, 25 minutes. Don't want to get you there too soon, do we? 25 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Let's say a couple of good mornings. Very good morning to Mary Lou with us bright and early this morning. Great to hear from you, Mary Lou. And also to Renee over there in Athens in Greece. So good morning. Have a great Thursday. Please could you play Any Way You Want It by Journey.
FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Have you ever seen Panama from a castle in the mountains of Chicá? Take a deep breath and relax at El Castillo de Kevin, just 1 hour and 40 minutes from the city. You can sleep over or just stay during the day. Enjoy the swimming pool, at the barbecue with the whole family or friends. Just call 6579-4281. That's 6579-4281 to make your reservation. You'll be surprised. By the way, did you get back from your vacations okay? Was it you that had that car that didn't stop making that noise? Well, now at Valet Motors in the City of Knowledge, they'll fix that, and with your maintenance, they'll give you free alignment. Make your appointment now with the best mechanical workshop in Clayton. Write to them on 6431 0419. And Valley Motors, they've got a passion for cars, for your car.
Valley Motors.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Absolutely great to be with you. We're half past the hour of 7 o'clock as we make our way through this morning's Breakfast Show. And looking at some of the international news and business headlines for this morning, the Biden administration has demanded that TikTok's Chinese owners divest their stakes in the popular video app or face a possible U.S. ban, the company told Reuters on Wednesday. The move is the most dramatic in a series of recent steps by U.S. officials and legislators who have raised fears that TikTok's U.S. user data could be passed on to China's government. ByteDance-owned TikTok has more than 100 million users in the United States. Taiwan has warned Honduras on Thursday not to be tempted by the poison of aid from China, no matter how indebted it was, and ruled out getting involved in a bidding war for diplomatic allies with its mainland rival. Honduran President Xiomara Castro said on Tuesday that she had asked her foreign minister to open official relations with China if the Central American country does end relations with Taiwan. It would leave the island with only 13 diplomatic allies. In a rare move, the Pentagon on Thursday released a declassified video showing Russia's intercept of a U.S. military surveillance drone, which was downed over the Black Sea 2 days ago. It was the first direct U.S.-Russian incident since the Ukraine war began, worsening already tense relations between Washington and Moscow. In the video, Russian Su-27 fighter jet comes very close to the U.S. MQ-9 drone and dumps fuel near to it in what U.S. officials say was an apparent effort to damage the American aircraft as it flew over the Black Sea. 11 weeks now into its third stint as Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has yet to be received at the White House, signalling apparent U.S. unhappiness over the policies of its right-wing government. Most new Israeli leaders had visited the United States or met the president by this point in their premierships. According to a Reuters review, the official visits going back to the late 1970s, only two out of 13 previous prime ministers heading a new government had waited longer. Yes, Credit Suisse said on Thursday that it would borrow up to $54 billion US dollars from Switzerland's central bank to shore up liquidity and investor confidence after a slump in its shares had intensified fears about a global banking crisis. The bank's announcement, which came in the middle of the night in Zurich, prompted a 24% rise in Credit Suisse's shares and helped reverse some of the heavy losses on stock markets driven by investor fears over potential bank runs across the world. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corp deposited $40 billion back into the U.S. Treasury general account on Tuesday, reversing a $40 billion withdrawal on Friday as the regulator took control of the failed Silicon Valley Bank. Treasury financial data released on Wednesday has shown. Now, a Treasury spokesperson referred questions about the fund transfers to the FDIC, which declined to comment. Regulators at the U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corp, the FDIC, have asked banks interested in acquiring failed lenders Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank to submit bids by the 17th of March, people familiar with the matter said on Wednesday. The new auctions show how the FDIC is making concerted efforts to return the lenders to the private sector after regulators took over Silicon Valley Bank last Friday and Signature Bank on Sunday during a week of turmoil that has reverberated through the global financial system. And European markets rebounded Thursday. This was as a 50 billion Swiss franc, that's $53.94 billion lifeline for beleaguered lender Credit Suisse, freed traders, up for a European Central Bank interest rate decision later. Now, Credit Suisse's shares leapt more than 20%, as we mentioned before, and the main European indices and Swiss franc all rose around 1% on early trading. This was after the Swiss National Bank and financial regulator, FINMA, took action late on Wednesday. Europe's bank shares bounced 2.3%, having suffered their steepest one-day drop in more than a year the previous session. More bond traders were selling safe haven government bonds again ahead of the ECB rate decision later. ECB President Christine Lagarde has been widely signalling a 50 basis point hike, but the last week of turmoil, which has also seen two US banks collapse, means that markets now see it as roughly a 50-50 call between 50 basis points and 25. Overnight, Asian shares had fallen around 1%, but it was largely a catch-up move and had none of the frenzy that was witnessed in Europe the previous day. MSCI's index of Asia-Pacific shares outside of Japan fell 1% to its lowest this year. Japan's bank shares, which are also seen as vulnerable to interest rate rises, recovered some even deeper early losses, but still ended up down 3.25%. The euro last stood at 0.3% higher at $1.606.12, and the Swiss franc was up 9% at 0.9267 to the dollar. The preference for safety was still supporting the yen, which was up 0.4% at 132.89 per dollar. That was in London trading. Oil prices also clawed back some ground after sliding to 15-month lows in the previous session. Brent crude futures was up 60 cents or 0.8% to $74.29 a barrel, while Texas Intermediate crude futures WTI rose to $68.08 a barrel. And that's it. There we go. That's our look at some of the scary things in the international news and business for this Thursday morning.
You think you're better? The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
There we go. First of those two was from our very own Las Vegas, I guess we'll never know, featuring our favourite singer there. Oh, yes, that was Lisa. Right, time on The Breakfast Show. We are 16 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and You Spin Me Round Like a Record. That was the second of those two tracks. Right, I'll tell you what, somebody else born on this day. This is going back to the year 1926, you might know him, Jerry Lewis, an American comedian, actor, film producer, screenwriter, film director, and a singer, best known for his slapstick humour on stage, and also on radios, and on the big screen, recording, and television. He was originally paired up with Dean Martin back in 1946, forming the comedy team Martin and Lewis. In addition to the team's popular nightclub work, they starred in a successful series of comedy films, and that was for Paramount Pictures. So there you go. Very happy day. Happy birthday, Jerry Lewis. Right, back to the music. UB40.
Just say, even tomorrow is what you had planned. No.
There we go. Yes, the UB40. I wish. And there we go. And that was Where Did I Go Wrong? Time on the Breakfast Show, we're 11 and a half minutes, 4 hours of 8 o'clock. Don't forget to remember, we're going to be talking about a great car show in the last hour of this morning's programme, which has been put on Saturday. This is over there in the City of Knowledge. We'll talk about that later on with our guest. And it is Thursday, and I'm happy to say Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, is going to be able to join us in the second hour, which is probably in around about half an hour's time, I guess. And we'll be looking at some of the local news for you. That's at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock this morning. Right, let's say a very good morning to Mary Lou. And she wishes everybody a great Thursday. And asked if I could please play Point of No Return from Kansas. Plenty of ways that you can keep up with us here on The Breakfast Show. Want to join in? You can WhatsApp us on 677-18822. Yes, 677-18822. It pops up right here on our screens in the studio. You can call us on 223-5162, where Yasmin is waiting to talk to you. English or Espanolish.
223-5162.
And if you're outside of Panama, just add that plus 507 in front of those numbers. TheBreakfastShow.com.pa and, of course, on social media.
Is anybody out there? Oh, here. Don't touch that dial.
Goes Oasis and She's Electric. Take us up to the top of the hour. We're just about 3 minutes away from 8 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we got the news for you.
Oh, my lady's nice,
escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Have you ever seen Panama from a castle in the mountains of Chicá? Take a deep breath and relax at El Castillo de Kevin, just 1 hour and 40 minutes from the city. You can sleep over or just stay during the day. Enjoy the swimming pool, at the barbecue, with the whole family or friends. Just call 6579-4281. That's 6579-4281 to make your reservation. You'll be surprised. By the way, did you get back from your vacations okay? Was it you that had that car that didn't stop making that noise? Well, now at Vale Motors in the City of Knowledge, they'll fix that, and with your maintenance, they'll give you free alignment. Make your appointment now with the best mechanical workshop in Clayton. Write to them on 6431 0419. At Vale Motors, they've got a passion for cars. For your car.
Vale Motors.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM. From the heart of Panama City in English.
We can solve.
Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Yes, you have finally figured it out. We are not only just in Dubai, but we are also now in Abu Dhabi. Right now, I am in front of a date and fig house. Oh, it is just delicious. There are figs everywhere. There are dates everywhere. And I don't just mean the kind you want to eat. Our little guide in driving the car, he is also available if anyone's interested. So if you haven't guessed by now, yes, I am in the United Arab Emirates, and I am out and about, and it is blistering hot, having a grand time. Right now we are at a market. We just went to the Heritage Place where we got to walk around and get sand in our shoes, and now I'm about to go to the Louvre Museum. The Louvre Museum, which has a lease from Paris for 37 years. So in 2037, they will lose their lease for the Louvre. So I couldn't see it when I was in Paris, so I'm seeing it now. So there are fruits, there are vegetables, there is everything. Oh my goodness, the cook is going to go crazy when she sees all these figs and she sees these dates. Next week is Ramadan, so everybody and their brother is out shopping for dates. So if you haven't gotten a date, go pick up one and eat it, and it's delicious. I got some from Syria. I got some from, Afghan. Oh, my goodness, I got them from all over. What I do see that's kind of interesting is I do see cashews, but they're not from Panama. So I'm hoping you all are going to have a great couple of days now, because Friday, that's tomorrow. Friday is Freaky Friday Fun Facts, so I'm not sure yet what we're going to do. I've got a car full of people looking at me funny saying, hey, when are we going to go? When are we going to go? We stopped and had some Pakistani food, and yes, I ate camel. I wrote to my sister, and she wrote me back. She says, poor camel, you ate a camel. I said, yeah. I said, one hump or two. Sorry, couldn't stand it. All right, Jerry. All right, Yaz. You guys be safe. And yes, indeed, I am in the United Emirates, and I was in Dubai, and now I'm in Abu Dhabi. Saturday, I will be flying to India and hopefully giving you some great news reports from India. Until then, back to you in the studio.
Please. me,
haunt me, haunt me.
And there we go, the Beatles, and you really got a hold on me. And Renee over there in Athens in Greece says, good morning, have a great Thursday. We also played a piece of music for you. I told Ingrid on her Instagram that she must ride a camel while she was there. She said, oh Lord, she ate the camel instead of riding on it. Yeah, it's like that out there, you know. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you doing today?
Fine. I spent time, in fact, where I was doing radio when I was a late teenager, was just up the road from Dubai at Sharjah. And I was there for, getting on for 2 years. Never had a camel.
That you know of?
That I know of, yes, this is quite true. It's like going to France and not knowing if you're eating a horse, really, isn't it? But, you got to be careful of them, though. Don't get too close, because they do spit at you.
Yeah, and the camels spit, too.
They do, absolutely, yes. Anyway, how's life?
Oh, life is great. Even made better now with artificial intelligence. We were talking about ChatGPT's new model.
Yeah, it was the ChatGPT-4 or something.
It's version 4 now.
Yeah.
It's gone through several iterations, every time with just a bigger set of parameters to work with and to play with and so on. And you probably have heard about ChatGPT on the news, and our audience probably has also heard about the use of these smart chatbots and artificial intelligence. A lot of people thinking, oh, it's going to take our jobs away or whatever. It's actually a little bit more simple and a little bit more complex than that. It's just one of those technologies that has been, it has existed for quite a long time. It's just that it's been evolving a little bit more quickly now because of different developments in both mathematics and language models and all of that.
Apparently it's supposed to be very good at writing programs, isn't it?
It is, in writing programs and in
debugging as well.
As well, yes, and in analyzing things like how secure your program is and things like that. It allows people to have like a second opinion, in the sense that I call it a second opinion machine, because it pretty much does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know how in TV series such as Dr. House, that he always had this Dr. Wilson that was with him all the time and provided mm-hmm. insight that was unavailable to him and allowed him to reach conclusions that he might not have been able to mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. first place, which is kind of modeled on Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson
right.
as well. And a lot of people were thinking, well, these OpenAI artificial intelligence-powered chatbots are like a Sherlock Holmes for your computer, but I see them more as a Dr. Watson,
mm-hmm.
somebody who's there who can provide additional insight and so on. And I actually had the chance to make ChatGPT, the latest version, version 4, interview itself.
Oh, okay.
So mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. depends on what kind of prompt you use. You basically tell it or ask it to look at information that you provided, because it doesn't directly have any sort of internet access, so it can't go to the internet, look something up, and then bring mm-hmm. it back to mm-hmm. you. Although there are extensions for your browser that can allow it to do that indirectly, but it can. But basically, I asked it a few questions. For example, how has it evolved from the previous version and made it more understanding of human text? Because this is the thing. You probably already have been exposed to this kind of artificial intelligence in the form of autocomplete.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
something mm-hmm. that looks at your text patterns and so on, and it makes a pretty good guess, mathematical one at that, of being able to tell what your next word might be. Now,
right.
take that
mm-hmm.
several steps forward, and you get something like what you have right now. It tells me that the training data set methodology provided by GPT-4 has been greatly expanded. I've seen some statistics say that it's millions of times more thorough in the amount of data that has been fed to it. And by incorporating this more diverse range of sources, including additional languages, because it can really use a lot of languages, a lot of content types, this new model is better equipped to understand both context and the responses that it provides can be more accurate. And this is an important point. These artificial intelligence entities or algorithms or programs can only pretty much output based on what they've already input. Mm-hmm. That creative spark that makes you you is still within you. That's not something that can be easily manipulated or fabricated in any way. Also, it has been better improved in terms of performance so that it can do it better using less energy, because artificial intelligence can be very energy intensive right now. There are many developments by the CPU manufacturers such as Intel, AMD, and so on, and ARM as well, that have made it a little bit more power efficient to do so by creating new types of CPUs. But in essence, it's a lot more efficient in that regard, and it has a more accurate understanding of many, many other different topics. The second question I asked, so how is the language generation of ChatGPT been improved to make it more coherent and make it understand context better and have more relevant responses? It says, well, the language generations have been improved notably. It's more capable now of producing coherent, contextually relevant, and grammatically correct responses, thanks to advancements in the underlying architecture and the training data. And it's also better at handling ambiguity and generating more creative responses when necessary. And this is interesting, because when you get a response from one of these AIs, you can ask it to say it in a more professional way, or maybe say it in a more candid way, or a more compassionate way, and so on. It can understand these kinds of prompts to make it better. And a lot of people are using it, for example, to write better emails. Let's say you want to email a coworker and tell your coworker about a specific situation or a problem or whatever. You can tell OpenAI what the context is, and it can provide you with a much more clearer way of explaining things. I've actually used this in some of my presentations where I feed my existing presentations or the text or the outline to it, and it provides me clues and context that I might have overlooked, because sometimes when you're preparing for a presentation, you probably have three or four different important points in mind, but unless and until you get to that presentation and somebody raises their hand and asks, what about this other topic? Well, OpenAI can provide you with something like that, and you can then make it yours in that regard.
So I just got a question, because I mean, I use Translate a lot when I'm from Spanish to English, especially when I'm working on the news, and I'm also now using one called DeepL, which is more conversant in the way it responds. It doesn't; it's not exact. It will adjust it to make it sound better, which also saves me time. But I notice at times with DeepL, and of course all the time, virtually with Google, why can't they get genders right? But it is logical, isn't it? If somebody is called Karen, it's going to be a she. And then they'll go on and they'll say, he said, or he said. You know, they seem to be unable to be able to specifically define a gender.
Okay, I'm not a linguist or a philologist, but what I can tell you from my personal experience is that I believe what some scholars say when they say that English is not a real language. It's three languages stacked on top of each other, wearing a trench coat, pretending to be another language. And you have to take into account that English has roots in the Anglo-Saxon part, the Latin-based part from the French, from 1066 onwards, and then a lot of other modern neologisms and whatever. And one thing that I've noticed about languages is that not all of them handle things like gender or tenses in the same way. That's why when you see variations of English spoken in former British colonies, you see that some of the ways that people use the language locally, natively, drop certain things from English because they were not present in whatever language people were originally speaking. For example, there's this song about the zombie jamboree, I done dead already. Mm-hmm. I'm already dead, mm-hmm. would be the proper mm-hmm. phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's this transformation that goes on that makes it sound wonky for some reason. And one of these things is the gendered constructs. I see that a lot, not only with English, but, for example, in people who are natively, they speak Hebrew, and they might not have had exposure to English, Spanish, or other languages early in their life. When they speak Spanish, for example, they say el computadora or something like that because it's not a gendered term in their native language. So unless they get all the practice they need to actually make the associations that you and I take for granted because we learned it as kids, then it makes it more difficult to use. Even English has things like that when you say, just give me a tall ship and a star to steer her by. Why is the ship gendered female, for example? There's no particular reason, and in Spanish it's el barco, but it's la embarcación, and so on. So these little nuances are what things like artificial intelligence works on.
But if we're talking about the capabilities of GPT-4, mm-hmm. which are far advanced, how mm-hmm. come then that Google Translate can't get it right?
Because it's probably not using things like GPT-4. Of course, Google is promoting their own brand of artificial intelligence. They call it Bard. And it's done some interesting things, but it's also failed in some ways, in mm-hmm. funny ways, mm-hmm. and they're still working on it. And there are rumors that Apple is also working on a similar model for its Siri, and that Amazon is also working on something like that for Alexa. In fact, there are some ways where you can combine the strengths of Alexa's voice recognition with the results that you can get from OpenAI.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can see in the future that when you converse with your smart speaker or whatever, mm-hmm. it's going to be more like a proper conversation.
Yes.
And that it'll come back in contextual answers and whatever. And I don't see that being that far away either.
I don't see it far away either, in the sense that probably by year end or by the early next year, we'll see smart speakers in that regard that will be able to keep up with a conversation and not get things way out of context like it does now. I mean, sometimes I ask it for things like, hey, is so-and-so star still alive? Because I'm not sure if they passed on or whatever. And it will come back with, this is something that I found on the web regarding so-and-so, which is not what I asked. I mean, I know it's doing its best effort, but I'm pretty positive that best effort is going to be much better in the next weeks, months, probably not years, just weeks or months.
Because all this now seems to be, the advances seem to be made with Microsoft. How far are they ahead of the others?
They have invested a lot of not just money, but resources and people in order to get this to work better. And this is something that anyone with a website that relies on traffic is going to have to deal with eventually. Right now, the big trend is what's called SEO, or search engine optimization, which is writing your text so that something like Google or Bing will pick it up and put it first in your results.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much going to be changing. It's going to be flipped on its head. And the search engines and the open and AI chatbots and things like that are going to be able to tell the person what they need to know without actually showing them your website or whatever. So it's going to be on you as a content provider to provide better, more contextual, more relevant content that gives people a reason to actually go and see the original and not just a canned response that summarizes your content. So that's going to be a major paradigm shift for content providers. Another one that I think is going to be important is that a lot of people are right now, a lot of entities, a lot of websites are using artificial intelligence to produce content. They feed it a certain set of facts and then say, give me an article that's 500 words long that summarizes these facts and presents them in a way that's coherent with my writing style or whatever.
So is language going to go the same way as mathematics? You've got a computer, so and you've got a calculator, so why, you know, you're going to lose control of your language because you don't have to look things up anymore?
I don't think so. I think we just go up a step in the ladder. I mean, we don't use abacuses for a reason.
They still do.
Okay.
My father-in-law still uses them.
Okay. And, well, that's probably because he's much better at using an abacus to do what he needs to do than most people are using calculators to do the same thing. And that's a matter of personal ability. Those personal abilities are going to change. I mean, you probably don't know how to ride a horse. I don't either. And can that's
eat,
not...
Can eat one.
Yeah. Or a camel.
Or a camel.
But that's just the way things evolve. That being said, it's not a bad thing that people still learn in school how to do long division by
mm-hmm.
hand.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody does that unless it's absolutely necessary. I mean, they probably ran out of battery on their phone or whatever. But, yeah, I had a classmate of mine who was with me in high school say, I'm having to relearn a lot of this math stuff with my kids now
mm-hmm.
because I completely forgot because I do it using some automated tool.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, same thing goes for a lot of things. I mean, a lot of us don't necessarily know how to start a fire or build a hut.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, unless things go really bad really soon, kind of like on The Last of Us, which just finished the series. Really good. Great adaptation of a great video game. I think we're going to be using these tools and taking them for granted in some ways for a very long time.
I mean, I remember it's a completely different type of thing, but the context is pretty similar. It's when there was a piece where when the school teacher was sort of the younger kids and was saying, Jimmy, where did peas come from? A tin, you know, it's a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a song, I'm going to eat a lot of peaches or something like that. Peaches come in a can. They were put them by a man in a factory downtown or something like that. And yeah, I mean, one of the things that I try to do in my spare time is to look at how far we've come with computers and technology and so on. In fact, one of my weekend projects right now is restoring an old Commodore Amiga 500 from 1987.
All right, yeah.
And it's been a labor of love kind of thing because a lot of the parts don't get manufactured anymore. But some kind souls have used modern tools to recreate a lot of the spare parts that you might need for these old computers. And in fact, I would love to reach out to our audience here in Panama and everywhere else in the world. If they have an old computer from the 80s lying around, like mm-hmm. an Apple II mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. a Commodore Amiga or a Commodore 64, an Atari 800 and so on, and you don't know what to do with it, drop us a line. I'd be happy to pick it up for you and restore it. I'm kind of working on creating a kind of a museum of sorts of old technology where people can bring their old computers, even if they're from last week or just last century, and try to put them back together. And if they're still useful for a general audience, even donate them to people who actually need old computers and old things. I've had the pleasure of receiving a lot of equipment from customers of mine, clients
mm-hmm,
of mine,
mm-hmm.
and I've been able to patch them up and give them out to people who might need them. I don't have any right now that I could give away, but I would sure hope to do something like that, or even have a place where I could teach people or others can teach people how to put them back together in working condition mm-hmm. and keep them out of landfills because, it's mm-hmm. really important mm-hmm. not to have all of these different materials that come into making one of these machines to seep into our drinking water or things like that. So any help I can get in that regard, I'm, pretty much welcome for that.
Okay. In fact, a good friend of mine, Dinah,
mm-hmm.
I just picked up from her the other week four old Roberts radios.
Ooh.
from, because they're specific, the UK are very sort of like that. They're always a very high class type of radio. They're portable. I mean, that's what their speciality was, Roberts. So I'm going to start having a little sort of rummage around. I'm going to, if nothing else, I'm going to make them look nice and have them up on the shelves.
And maybe even put one back together and see if it works.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
There's an interesting YouTube channel called The Westlife, and also another called Techmoan. And Techmoan is a guy from the UK, and he loves putting these old Walkmans and phonographs and things like that together and make them work again whenever they can. Sometimes the damage from age and whatever is too great, and they just look like museum pieces. But
I don't look that bad.
No, Alex, not at all. I mean,
thank you.
You look better every day.
I tell you what, we're going to take a piece of music, then we'll be back with Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. Go. That's Adam Lambert and Broken English. And keep you on the time, by the way. We are just making our way to 13 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. Remember, if you missed the news at 8, we do have it again for you at 9 o'clock this morning. Right now, we're talking about artificial intelligence with Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, here with us in the Breakfast Show studio. This is going to, because of the rapidity of which this is occurring, it's going to make a lot of difference. You know, these robots you see running around in they're going to be able to have a conversation, a proper conversation, not just, you know, They're going to be able to actually talk to you.
Speaking of that, there's a couple of artificially intelligence-powered websites that can do what's called voice cloning.
Mm-hmm.
About at least a decade ago, Roger Ebert, the famous movie critic, had a health problem that made him unable to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many recordings of his voice from his TV show and appearances that a mathematical model that took a really long time and a lot of resources to produce was created so that he could just continue writing and have the writing be read in his own voice.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
mm-hmm.
this kind of technology was also offered to Stephen Hawking at one point, but he said, I've been using this talk box for so long, I feel like it's my actual voice.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
But nowadays, you can go on to a couple of websites right now, and for free, if you want something basic, or for a very small fee, you can read something to the computer and have it read back to you, anything else read back to you in what constitutes pretty much your own voice. It's still got a few kinks to resolve, but I'm sure that probably by the year end, we'll be able to, and this is very important.
Why would I not just record it in my own voice?
Because you might not have the time. Let's say you have a bunch of texts like the news that you read every day. You give this to the program and then read something else in your voice, like a 5-minute clip or whatever, or feed it any of mm-hmm. your old mm-hmm. shows, and it will be able to read the news in your voice. And you can save that time, for example.
Who's responsible for things like copyright then if it's not me?
That's one of the challenges right now is who is responsible. And the consensus so far is that the more automated the AI is, the more the creator of the AI is responsible for its use. The more it relies on the user doing things, then the more the user is responsible for that. Kind of like we have a model for responsibility for, say, firearms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you probably remember that at some point in history, firearms manufacturers have been sued because of the damage being done with what they created. And in some cases, they have been found responsible. But in other cases, the users of these firearms have been found responsible. I believe something like this might be what will eventually become artificially intelligent, artificial intelligence based mm-hmm. mm-hmm. law. But one of the things that I've learned in many years is that usually the laws trail development by a number of years, sometimes decades. I mean, here in Panama, we just barely passed, for example, a law that has to do with remote work.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
people have been working remotely for decades now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just that it only now became mainstream, and it was very, very, very lucky that we had something in place that was already, ready to go when we most needed it. But that's the exception, not the rule. So we will have to work, however, difficult that might sound, with lawyers to create the legislation that's appropriate.
Here's a point, actually. We could probably do away with lawyers, couldn't we? Because if the artificial intelligence was capable of reading all the law and cases referring to it, it could apply the law better than the judge because it would be completely impartial and only based on the information that it received.
You would be assuming that the information that the artificial intelligence received was impartial to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have been sorely made aware of as humanity is that a lot of the times there's implicit bias in what we do, even when we don't realize it. One example being artificial intelligence using facial recognition will, in general, recognize people with lighter shades of skin tone much easier than people with darker shades of mm-hmm. skin tone. Mm-hmm. And this is basically because a lot of the models being used to scan for facial features feature people with lighter skin tones.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, in fact, there was some news regarding some self-driving cars that were having issues identifying people with darker shades of skin in order to avoid collisions or running them over. So we have to be even more careful now when we employ these technologies, because we're not feeding hundreds or thousands of elements into an artificial intelligence. We're now with the capability of using billions or trillions of pieces of data to feed them, and the potential to have built-in biases is very, very much amplified in these cases. So if something, for example, like laws that red zoning or redlining laws, gerrymandering laws, and things like that that have been historically demonstrated to be biased, even if they're not in their wording, but in their intention, and if not in the intention, in the result, which then has been the cause for people in marginalized sectors of society being even more marginalized, we run the risk, if we run all of our law through artificial intelligence, to amplify these biases instead of reduce them. So we need to be really careful about that and how we feed it, because, again, if not, we're going to go to a very old principle in computing called GIGO, or garbage in, garbage out. So that's my concern in that regard. We could, and we do, use artificial intelligence nowadays. Many law firms use them to actually look for information in cases that might help the actual human lawyers prepare a better case for that judge. And judges could use artificial intelligence as well to look for context and to look for precedent that they might have missed because it wasn't taught in their school at the time, because it's newer than their education, or it was something that happened outside their general sphere of influence or information. So again, I go back to what I said at the beginning. We're looking more at a Dr. Watson than a Sherlock Holmes for artificial intelligence.
Okay. All right. So we just have to sit back and wait, won't we?
Well, we, the ones that don't do any, you know, high-level maths or programming, will just have to wait and see. But not only wait and see, but also be very attentive to what's going on in the market, because it will eventually influence us directly or indirectly. Because, for example, if a bank uses artificial intelligence to, you know, tell whether or not you are a good candidate for a loan, that does affect you. And we've seen with what's happened with banks in the past couple of days that sometimes these automated decisions can be responsible for triggering conditions that we might have been able to fix eventually if it hadn't been for the fact that some automated process made it so that it crashed. You might remember we had a couple of months ago a problem where U.S. planes were grounded because for many hours because of an automated system that was mishandled by somebody, and it overwrote some important documents and blanked them out, so planes couldn't leave because they didn't have critical information that would help them avoid things like storms or other conditions. So we need to be very careful, because just like you can make a lot bigger mistakes with a wrecking ball than with a hammer, you can make a lot bigger mistakes with an artificial intelligence versus just regular tools. I mean, I've heard an old saying that goes, if you want to err is human, but to really foul things up, you need a computer.
And on that note, Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, nothing artificial about his intelligence.
Very natural stupidity.
Alex, it's always great to see you.
Great
Thank
to
you
be
so
here.
Much. There you go. Dr. Computer, Alex Newman with us here on this morning's breakfast show. We're just about 3.5 minutes away from the top of the hour. And to take us there, we've got Conan Gray and Heather.
December, me in your sweater. You said it looked better on me than it did you. Only if you knew watch her eyes as she walks by. What a sight for sore eyes, brighter than the blue sky. She's got you mesmerized while I die. Why would you ever kiss me? I'm not even half as pretty. You gave her your sweater, it's just polyester, but you like her better. Wish I were Heather. Watch as she stands with her holding your hand. Put your arm round her shoulder. Now I'm getting colder, but how could I hate her? She's such an angel, but then again, kinda wish she were dead as she walks by. What a sight for sore eyes, brighter than a blue sky. She's got you mesmerized while I die. Just polyester, but you like her better. Wish I were.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
there we go. Chet Atkins together with Mark Knopfler there and Poor Boy Blues. And there's a request from Christopher this morning. Christopher Bowman, good morning, Christopher. Nice to know you're out there. Hope you enjoyed that one. Just for you.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Her name is Ciara, and that's a beautiful rendition of Paint It Black. And before that, it was Cheap Trick and The Flame. We've just got time to squeeze one quick one in, and this comes from the Merseys, and then we're going to be with my guest, which is Nicole Gallagher. Great event coming up on the 25th.
Sorrow, you're acting funny, spending all my money.
There we go. That's the Moses and Sorrow. And I tell you what, can you tell me who else had a lot of success with that song? It was David Bowie. We are 20, if you're keeping an eye on the time, 27 and a half minutes. That's after the hour of 9. I'm going through with you till 10 o'clock. And very happy to have with me here in the studio, Nicole Gallagher from the US Embassy. Good morning to you.
Thanks. Good morning. Great to be here.
And how long have you been here, Nicole?
In Panama?
Yeah.
We got here in August. We were previously, my family was previously in Montenegro, in the Western Balkans.
Really?
It was a very quick turnaround. We were back in the States for about a month vacation, and then here we are. Come on.
Wow. And so that was this isn't a vacation, then, you know.
No, but Panama is a lovely country, as you know.
So oh, yeah. No, it's great. I said, well, I've been. And it had its foibles, but it's a good place to live, I tell you. So 30 years I've been here, so.
A long time, yeah. All my compatriots
young.
Back in the U.S. were complaining about the winter storms. It was nice to spend Christmas by the pool.
actually, funny, we had a group come down in February, beginning of February, for a week, from Boston, and 28 of them down here. And, they were so happy, you know. They went back smiling, they didn't want to go back, it's magic. Have you drunk in the water from the Chagres River yet?
I have not.
Oh, well, you probably will.
Is that on my bucket list for Panama?
Yeah, because apparently if you drink the water from the Chagres, you're going to come back.
Ah, got it.
So, there we go. Listen, Nicole, we're here to talk about, there's a brand new event coming up. And, being a bit of a petrol head, this is a good one. Tell us a little bit about it. Car show.
Yeah, car show. We're excited. So it's called Wheels for Hope. Mm-hmm. And we're partnering with Ciudad del Saber.
Right.
First time. It's a big community family event. It'll be the afternoon of the 25th out in Ciudad del Saber, in the bus terminal area, kind of when you enter Ciudad del Saber from the highway there.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of parking. Car show. We're kind of branding this as a car show for a cause.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have hopefully about 30 cars, which are going to be provided by the rides and coffee. Collectors Club,
mm-hmm.
which is great. All American classic cars, probably starting in the 1930s onward.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, we're partnering with Capa de Eso, which is the Panama Chamber, probably as you know, for social development. And they're going to have 20 of their member NGOs out the cars. So this is the cause part. And they're going to be basically telling, you know, what they do in their organizations, hopefully getting some interest, spreading
mm-hmm.
some knowledge,
mm-hmm.
awareness. And these are NGOs from across the spectrum, right? We got health NGOs, education, culture, environment, just really awesome organizations doing really valuable, good work.
So that's a great way of doing it because you're going to use the cars to draw the attention to the NGOs. And
right.
Who doesn't love cars, right?
Right. Who doesn't love cars? Who doesn't love NGOs?
Exactly.
Helping the environment and other worthy causes.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. So the idea isn't basically to raise money. But it's awareness.
Yeah, it's really to awareness. And, you know, maybe folks will see an NGO. They're like, hey, I'd like to be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
Or what can I do to support
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we're going to have other things. We're building this out. We're also bringing the cars into the 21st century because we're going to have two electric vehicles from the embassy, American electric vehicles, right, to get us around town for meetings and whatnot.
Have you got the electric Mustang yet?
Yes, we do.
Oh, good.
So
I'll be there for a ride, okay?
Good. Excellent. We'll sign you up. We got the Mustang and the Tesla.
Really?
So, yeah, we're jazzed. So that'll be cool, too. And then back to the cause side, we're also partnering with Dona Vida to have a blood drive going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a voluntary, of course, blood drive bus there. And folks can sign up, pre-register on the website ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Check out Dona Vida's social media. And they'll be donating the blood to three public hospitals. The Instituto Nacional Oncológico.
Mm-hmm.
Hospital del Niño and Hospital Santo Tomas, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's
so it's a really
excellent.
It's a big need. So if folks are interested in doing that and eligible, that would be amazing.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting because, you know, we've had, you know, certain NGOs in here and talking about blood donations, and it's improved a lot now, the facilities that they have, blood banks, etc.
Yes.
So that's an excellent thing. Because a lot of people, by the way, you know, when you do give a pint of blood, it's just a pint of blood. They break it down into platelets and all sorts of different things. So, you know, one pint of blood can help a lot of people.
Definitely. And it's actually good for the donor as well, which
mm-hmm.
we didn't know until recently. It has health benefits.
We used to be in England because you used to get a cup of tea and a biscuit. when you went to go and give blood, and then you sit down and get your cup
of tea. Get a little sugar rush.
Yeah, cup of tea and a biscuit's coming up. Just make yourself at home.
That was great.
I played it a bit before. There's a wonderful sketch by an old English comedian. His name is Tony Hancock, and it's The Blood Donor. And it's all about the sort of going in and to get blood. And, they do the little prick to sort of, and he says, "Oh, well, that's it then. Thank you very much. I'll be off now. Then give me my cup of tea and a biscuit." And he says, No. You've got to give a pint. A pint? A pint? I'll have an empty arm.
So
there's always a classic. It's a brilliant, that one. And so this is first. Hopefully, this is going to be the first of many.
Yeah, we're hoping it'll be an annual event.
Yeah.
I think it's new, it's innovative, but really it's about bringing the community and the family out. It's mm-hmm. pet-friendly, outdoors. We'll have a picnic area, and we'll also be having food trucks with American beverages and food
great.
For sale. So hopefully that'll draw a crowd. And we'll also have a stand, of course, sharing information about some of the embassy programs, mm-hmm. educational mm-hmm. scholarship opportunities. So, yeah, it should be a freewheeling, fun event.
Okay. Yeah. And you sort of partnered up with Cap Edeso.
Mm-hmm.
Who exactly is Cap Edeso?
So they're this Panamanian Chamber for Social Development. So kind of an umbrella organization.
Mm-hmm.
And NGOs are members there. And they basically opened up to their members who wants to be at this event. And I think there's a lot of interest, so, which is why we're hoping to do future
mm-hmm.
iterations
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
we can get more and more NGOs.
You've got a good place as well, because, I mean, there's a lot of United Nations people over there that I'm sure will be hanging around to have a look at the cars.
Yes, exactly.
And is pet friendly?
It's pet friendly.
Okay.
Pet friendly. Bring your dogs, bring your cats, whatever else you might have.
Bring the kids.
Bring the kids. Yeah, it's nice to have some kids as well, too. And there should be plenty of parking.
Right.
Right next to the exhibition. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of it.
So that's a week on Saturday, and that's from midday until 8 p.m. Goes on till 8.
12 to 6.
12 to 6, sorry.
12 to 6, yeah.
8 o'clock.
Yeah. I think we're probably, I think it will get a little more at the end of the day when the heat goes down. But, we hope. Long day.
I'll be there early.
Long, fun day.
Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun.
I know you do.
We're going to take a little piece of music, and we're back with my guest, Nicole Gallagher. And this is Sting and the Police, Fields of Gold.
walked in fields of gold. When we walked in fields of gold.
Beautiful track of it. Fields of Gold from Sting and the Police. I don't know why they segregated those two, because he was always a member of the Police anyway. I just, it's got, you know, he got the fame and then so, oh, well, I'll have to put his name in front. It doesn't matter, because it's still good music. My guest with me is Nicole Gallagher from the MC. Cultural attaché, is that...
In Spanish. So basically, I'm in charge of the section that does cultural and press.
Oh, there
so,
we go.
Yeah. The culture, education, media, all that.
And let me see. Let's just go ahead. We were just talking about there about the blood bank. And do register beforehand.
Yeah. Rent a call? Yeah. I think if possible. Mm-hmm. Definitely great. Please to register with Dona Vida ahead of time. Check out mm-hmm. the social media website just so you can enter all your details and be ready to go to dose when you come mm-hmm. to Wheels for Hope on the
29th. Wheels for Hope. No, because I like this. I hadn't heard of them before. This Rides and Coffee.
Yes.
So are there going to be any rides?
I do not know if they're actually going to be rides. Hopefully there'll be coffee. It might be more looking at the cars. Yeah. Yes, I suppose it's up to the actual owners how hands-on you can get with the cars.
Okay, who owns the electric Mustang, by the way?
Well, the embassy does.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So you got the keys?
You have an in with us. So I'll see what I can do.
Because I don't know if you did, but there was a show a while back which was to do with electric mobility. The convention center.
No, that must have been before my time.
It was only a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was only a few weeks ago. What was interesting, the number of people that were there that were actually selling, not so much just the cars, but also the chargers, which of course are that's why I think we're a little bit slow on getting the electric cars on the market, because of the infrastructure. I know a good friend of ours, the independent, a legislator that's Edison Brosse, you know, he actually got a bill passed through on electric mobility through that. I'm sort of looking forward to it. I mean, being a bit of a petrol head, I mean, it's sort of difficult, but, when I used to go to Boston quite often. I always used to go to two places, the Microsoft store, and right next to the Microsoft store in the Prudential Room was Tesla's showroom. And I was a little bit upset, because I went in and I was looking at the cars, you see, with a great interest. And a lady came up and she said, oh, she said, you know, do you like the... And I said, yeah, I said, I think they're great. She said, yes, she says, people of your age really like these because there's no maintenance. Or very little. I said, right, thank you very much. Went back to Microsoft.
Yeah, not a good selling technique there, I'd
really,
say.
No. Not really. But it's a good point. The maintenance is very low.
No, it's great. I mean, there's so many benefits to electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And it's great because it's part of our kind of, we're really trying to be practice green diplomacy, as we say, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to have these vehicles, to use them. Agreed, though, that the infrastructure here still needs to kind of move forward to support them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually kind of friends with this really cool group of folks who retrofits regular, you know, cars, gas cars, to make them, like, electric,
right,
which I don't totally understand, but they're really into it, and it's exciting. So there's kind of ways to get there.
No, absolutely. And a lot of people do this, the older cars now, and... in fact, when I was, my sort of favorite car was when, in the UK that I had was, I had a Triumph TR6, which was, 1972, I think it was, when it was made. And, that was a straight six cylinder, and it was one of the first cars ever to be mass produced with fuel injection, but it was mechanical, it wasn't electronic.
Oh, interesting.
And, driving around that and listening to the exhaust and the smell of the but that is a big thing, as you say. I mean, England, that if you have a car, you can take it along and they'll convert it to electric, and you still have the look, but you have the green element of it as well. And And also, because you mentioned the view, if you can't see, but if you look down, they've just built a brand new house down here. Mm-hmm. And it's way down Ashfield, but they've covered the top, the whole of the top of the building with solar panels.
No shortage of sun here.
No, that's, well.
At least in the dry season.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you came in August. Well, yeah, you got the end of the rainy season soon. Now, obviously, this amazing event. This is going to be just remind everybody on the 25th of March, 12 midday until 6 p.m. Car show for a cause, which what we're saying here. Do go along and support it. There's, as I say, lots of other things. There is a blood drive. There's going to be an electric Mustang there.
Someone's excited.
If I haven't taken it away yet. it's all put on by, embassy partnered with Cabadesso, and this is the Panama Chamber of Social Development to launch Wheels for Hope. What else are you up to in the world of culture, Nicole? Because I know the embassy is sort of quite a leader in doing a lot of events, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything planned in the future that's...
Yeah, so we recently, we had a great participation in the Panama Jazz Festival, which you
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple months ago now, January. Mm-hmm. We actually brought down 11 artists, which was awesome, and we did lots of community concerts, which we really enjoyed. So that was fun to be able to bring some musicians here, do some collaboration. We're looking ahead. We're thinking about what we can do next. The kind of exchange element has really just, I'd say, reopened. In the wake of COVID, but that's exciting. Lots of our in-person exchanges. We send lots of folks to the U.S. to study, to do professional development. That's all kind of back online, which is really exciting. And we invest a lot in this. We invest about $10 million a year just really on educational exchanges.
Oh, yeah, I know you have a lot of scholarships.
Just here in Panama. Yeah, exactly.
What's Madeline? Oh, she passed away not so long ago. Gosh, my mind's gone blank. Albright. Madeline Albright.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he has a scholarship, I think, which goes on here as well. So, yeah, great thing.
Know.
And by the way, talk about the artists from the States for the Blues Festival. There was an artist who I hadn't heard before, but now I play her incessantly, especially in the car.
Who's that?
And that's Catherine Russell.
Oh, I haven't heard of her.
Yeah?
No?
Oh, gosh, what a voice. But the interesting part is that her father has wrote a lot of standards, jazz standards, but he was born in Bocas del Toro.
Ooh,
so she's sort of got roots here.
Oh, I have heard of her, yes, now you mentioned Bocas del Toro. Okay, awesome, great.
Yeah.
And let me put in a plug, too, for our Panama American Center, which hopefully you've heard of, is also out in Ciudad Oso there, and that's where we do a lot of our cultural programming. They're open, I think it's Tuesday through Saturday. We have lots of workshops on, you know, STEM, science. We have English conversation clubs. We do cultural programming, too. So I encourage all your listeners to check out what we have to offer. Again, Panama American Center, and it's out in Ciudad Oso there, very close to where the Wheels for Hope will be.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, no, the amount of things go on there now in the around that area. This, by the way, talking of petrol heads, and cars is right, just behind where you are, is where I always take my car, Ballet Motors. They're one of our advertisers. And do you know what? They're the only people I trust with my car.
There seems to be tons of car folks here. Yes.
Of course there are, yes. I tell you what, we're going to take another piece of music. And until I just quickly dug a piece of music out from Catherine Russell.
Ah, super.
And if you know Father, I can't and my dreams. My dreams you no longer share. Just tell me before it starts to show. Don't be ashamed. Let me be the first to know. You love me now. I feel kind of sure. Kind of sure. Somehow. Becomes a busy ring.
I ran into the tune Let Me Be the First to Know from a Dinah Washington collection called Back to the Blues. And it just reminds me, this is another lyric that is very close to me because this has happened to me, you know. If you don't love me anymore, tell me first. Don't let me, don't ask my neighbors, don't let me hear it from everybody else, you know. So when I heard this tune, it just spoke to me.
There she goes. Yes, that is Catherine Russell, and Let Me Be the First to Know. Time on the Breakfast Show. We're 9 minutes before 10, so I've just got a couple of minutes to go before thinking about going off and doing something else. My guest would be right now from the cultural attaché. I like that word. That's a good one. Nicole Gallagher with us, and just to remind you, please don't forget this is a week on Saturday. Definitely going to be there and have a wander around, and that's going from midday until 6 o'clock at Ciudad del Saber. If I remember rightly, Nicole, just as you turn off, you go to the left. I'm gonna have a tattoo L&R, like the headphones.
Yes, the bus terminal area. Maybe that'll
yeah,
yeah.
Yes, so,
right when you get off the highway.
Yeah. So do go along. I shall look forward to that. And Nicole, thank you so much for coming in, spending some time with us this morning. And I'm sure you'll be back again.
Right.
And an artist, just on Spotify, I found you here. We don't have time to play so now. Allo Black.
Yeah.
And you say he's Panamanian, but living in California?
I believe his parents are Panamanian, born in California.
Oh, okay.
So Panamanian American.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Amazing voice.
Going to have a listen to that.
Please.
He looks a little bit like Pharrell Williams, a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll do all right.
I think he's doing well.
Doing all right anyway, yeah. Nicole, thank you so very much.
Thanks so much.
And no doubt Nicole will be back with us again in the future. Just to take us out quickly this morning. In tried yesterday, but didn't quite make it. Might today. This is Flowers in the Rain. From the Move.
Woke up one morning half asleep with all my blankets in a heap and yellow roses scattered all around. The time was still approaching for I couldn't stand it anymore. So Mary goes upon my eiderdown. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. In the way, feel the power of the rain, keeping me.
to catch the sight that I was seeking. I'm just sitting, watching flowers in the rain. With the trees, we need to leave reality behind me. With my commitments in a mess, my sleep is gone away deep rest. In a world of fantasy, you'll find me. I'm just sitting, watching flowers in the rain.
And there we go. Yes, Flowers in the Rain. I said it did try yesterday to give us a little bit of downfall. And looking out this morning, wait till the afternoon. You never know. Time on the breakfast show, 5 minutes before 10. Time for me to go off and do something else for the rest of the day. Big thank you once again to Nicole Gallagher from the US Embassy and the event. We'll have information about that on our website as well today with little maps and how you can get in touch with the people for the blood drive, so you can register for that. Big thanks also to Dr. Computer and Alex Newman this morning, Talking Tech, talking about GPT, talking about artificial intelligence. I'd just like to have some ordinary intelligence. Big thanks to Alex. Big thanks to Yasmin here in the Breakfast Show studio, my producer, my social media, everything basically. My co-producer, Neil Danby, over in Windsor in the United Kingdom. To Ingrid, our intrepid outdoor reporter, right now is in Dubai. And she's going off, I think, in the next day or so on her travels to India. So she'll be back next week, I believe. So big thanks to Ingrid. Big thanks to the boys and girls of Group Agrada. Keep us up and running. And more especially to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors. Thank you so very much for being part of The Breakfast Show. I'll be back with you tomorrow, and we say TGIF, don't we? TGIF, Friday already. I'll be back with you 7 o'clock in the morning. Just please remember whatever it is you're doing between now and then, do it carefully, because at 7 tomorrow, I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da! You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby.